Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the Time of Truth.
Praise the Lord. You know, that's a beautiful song. That's hard to do. We sing that, but I surrender all. And that's what He wants. I mean, He saved us all. He didn't just save our hand or our foot, or He got us all. But that is a beautiful, beautiful song. Thank you for being here on Wednesday night. Good to see everyone. It's vacation time, as you can tell. There's just a lot going on. Vacation Bible School Saturday, church camp around the corner, camp meeting on the horizon. A lot of things happening. It's just a busy time of the year. And thank God there's something to do and people to do it. But in doing all that, this is where the Lord's led my heart tonight. I pray this will be a blessing to you. Before I take a text here tonight, you can be turning to 1 Kings chapter 18, where I'm going to try to bring some message out of. Brother Randy preached last week. And here's the statistics. He took all the notes back up, and out of the ones he received, here's what people were thinking about in the Wednesday evening service. 23% of those that he took up was thinking about the service, what is going to take place in the service. 21% were thinking about heaven or going to heaven. 21% was thinking about family alive or deceased. It was coming to that Memorial Weekend. 12% was thinking about the Lewis family due to the death of Kenny. 6% said strictly the Lord. 4%, I figured these were the young people, work or school. 4% miscellaneous. 3% Thanksgiving and praise. And 3%, I'm sure these are the adults that went on a youth trip. 3% was thinking about the youth trip. So, and I know that what he told me what he was going to preach on. And then, I don't know what happened here Sunday night. But I think everybody got their mind on the same thing Sunday night. It began in the prayer room. It came into the sanctuary. It was in the songs. It was in the preaching was done by the Holy Ghost. I just got up and said a few things. Didn't need to preach. It had been said. It was just a good place to be. It makes a difference when you're thinking about this. Now, you have no idea what I'm going to preach on. I said 1 Kings 18. That's a story that I love. But it's talking about a drought. I want to try to share with you tonight what's on my heart about defeating the drought. Because we all have that. I'll begin in verse 41, if you'll read the closing of the chapter here. And this is just off the cuff tonight. I've read and prayed and studied. The Lord put this on my heart this morning. You found 1 Kings 18 and 41. Shout amen for me. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain, defeating the drought. Now stay with me. I've got something on this. It's not new, but it's new to me. And so Ahab went up to eat and to drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. And he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. Yeah, but you said it was going to rain. And the fire's falling. Go up there and look. I don't see anything. He said, go again 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. It came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Father, I love you, and I bless you for letting us be here tonight and be behind your desk once again on this in this place, Lord, on this ground, sanctified for the spreading and the sharing of the Word of God. Now, Lord, I can't do a thing without you. Not one thing. But I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Strengthen me, Lord. Fill my mouth, guard my tongue, preach me inside the bounds of this book. Do it for your glory. I pray for your glory, Lord. Hear your preacher, Lord. And what comes tonight is going to be but you. So I pray you bless this time. This Word feeds your people, Lord. Help us defeat the drought. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. And amen. Bible students are familiar. This is familiar territory. You need no exposition on this, but I just feel like I need to share the story. I've come to learn that everybody's not a Bible reader. Here we have a time when Israel has done this. They have gone into sin. They have turned their back. The northern 10 tribes have turned their back wholly against the Lord. And here they set up false worship. Now they're worshiping Balaam, and the king's wife is a big promoter of this. Jezebel, she's one that she brought this stuff with her. I think she's Phoenician, as a matter of fact. She's brought this thing with her. It has begun to interfere. Now, Israel had already left the worship of Jerusalem, the northern 10 tribes. They'd set up false idols. Jeroboam, how'd you like to have this tag to your name? Jeroboam, who caused Israel to sin. Every time you see that guy, Jeroboam, who caused Israel to sin. There they are, they're the northern 10 tribes. They've set up false worship from the beginning. Now, they've gone into Baalism, if you would, and they're not... They don't have anything for God. There's a wild preacher shows up one time in the court of Ahab and said, it's not going to rain till I say so. And he leaves. I wonder if Ahab didn't think, who was that nutcase? Jezebel thinks, who is he? You know what? After about 6 months, when maybe the early rain had come, and it was time for the latter rain. There's 2 times of the rainy season over there, and if they don't get both of them, nothing's going to, well, glory. Nothing's going to happen. They're looking. Maybe it was time for the latter rain, or maybe the latter rain had come, and it was time for the early rain, and it came rain time, and there's no rain. And they begin to look around and say, what did that guy say? Said it wasn't going to rain, but he said so. Maybe they waited another 6 months or so. We know it's 3.5 years. Now, the half isn't described here. You'll find that in the New Testament. James talks about it was 3.5. Bible scholar says it's because it hit on either the early or the latter rain, one or the other, whichever it was. From that time, when it was supposed to rain, another 3 years, no rain. They're scratching their heads. There's a problem. I'm telling you, I said it 20 years ago in the old sanctuary. God got his hand on the spigot. He can turn her wide open, or he can shut her off. And little man, all little man can do is deal with the situation in which God allows to come his way. You know what he said under his law? What it would bring to those that knew him? and didn't heed his word, he said, I'll send a drought. Drought has come. And it's sin that has brought the drought. Does the same thing in our lives. If you want to get dry on God, just let a little sin in the side door. It don't take a big sin. It's just little sin. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. I'm telling you, it doesn't take big things. It's like the old preacher Roger Duncan told the story. I can't recall the preacher, but said he seen a man in the road. And he met a man on the street and he didn't care for the man. And he spoke to him harshly. He said, and I hadn't gone very far and the birds quit singing. He said, I ran him down and apologized. Said, I'm sorry, brother, that I spoke harshly to you and about you. He said, you know what? The birds started singing again. So it's sin that dried out Israel at this time. That's the reason the drought's going to come, because they're doing what God told them not to do. It's the same way in the life of the Christian today. And the drought comes. And droughts are difficult. But when, now, the 3 years is over, God tells Elijah, he said, go show yourself to Ahab. Ahab's been looking for this guy. Where is he at? I need to talk to him. It's not rained here. Hey, where is this? And he just shows up and he finds Obadiah. Now, I think Obadiah gets a bad racket. My Bible says over here, says a believer out of touch with God is what it says over the heading of Obadiah. I don't believe that. That's a man. That's not the Word of God. That's something a man put in my... It's a highlight in my Bible. I don't believe that. I don't believe Obadiah was out of touch with God. Obadiah was working in a job that it was necessary for him to work in, that he might have spared 100 of the prophets to begin with. If he'd have been out of touch with God, he'd let them kill the prophets. It wouldn't have bothered him none. But see, when you're in touch with God, the concern for others will be right in your heart. So here's what he does. He hides these guys in a cave by 50 and gives them bread and water. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying the sin that dried the place out caused the suffering of those in the community. Sin's a reproach to any people. And you know what? When one church dries out, there's repercussion in other places. You may have an aunt or an uncle over there, a first cousin, a sibling. And when one dries out, the repercussion is wide. When we get dried out, you know what? That sin has caused the suffering of Obadiah and these priests. They didn't ask for this drought. Now I'm about to go somewhere right here. The political heads of the nation had caused the land to be dry. In other words, when our Senate or our Congress, and they pass laws and it's contrary to the Word of God, you know what it's doing? Drying us out. And you know who it causes suffering? That unborn baby. He or she hadn't done one thing wrong. And they want to kill that child. Somebody's suffering for the sin of someone else. We see that suffering coming right here. I'm going somewhere with it if you'll stay with me just a few minutes. Here we have this saying, oh, Wednesday night beating us to death. Oh no. I'm talking how to defeat the drought. You gotta know what caused the drought. I'm telling you, I found myself in dry places. I don't like dry places. I like to feel the wind blow and I like the water poured over my head. I mean, I like to be right in the middle of it. I don't like dry places. And I like warm weather. And I like a good rain every now and then too, praise God. I don't like dry places. I find myself in dry places. It's easy to get in a dry place. In this world, we're not of the world, but we are in the world. It's easy to be in a dry place. Here Obadiah is, he's suffering right along with those that their sin has caused the suffering to come. Are you still with me? Now, God's man shows up and business is about to get better. He's about to challenge the wickedness of Israel. And he's going to say, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? Who are you going to serve? You going to serve God or you going to serve Baal? Which one do you want? And the people didn't say anything. You know, I believe they could have chose right then. Brother Randy, they didn't say a word. So Elijah says, here's what let's do. Let's have a contest. Let's go up on Mount Carmel. I've been on Mount Carmel, I'm telling you. Some of you, Brother Grover's been on Carmel. Some of the others in here may have been, I don't remember. But it's a good place to be. We got up on top of Mount Carmel and read this passage of Scripture. June Gardner said, Mike, read that Scripture. And the water started flowing. It's still there. He'll go up on Carmel. He said, what we're going to do, we're going to build an altar. You take a bullock, I'll take a bullock, and the God that answers by fire, He'll be God. And they all said, yay. And so watch this. They build an altar. They take a bullock. They cut this thing up. They place it on the wood. The wood's on the altar. They place a bullock on there. And here's what they do. They begin to cry out. And they cry most of the day. They get up on top of the altar. This, I could see this in my mind today as I was reading this. They got up on top of the altar, jumping on the altar. You know what that means? That's getting the blood of the bull all over them, but the blood of a bull won't get it done. Wrong blood. So when the blood of the bull wasn't getting it done, you know what they started doing? They started cutting themselves. Now they're bleeding all over the place. And Elijah gouges them just a little bit. What's wrong, boys? Maybe God's gone on a vacation or something. Maybe He's taking a nap. What's wrong? And they're yelling and screaming and cutting themselves and jumping up and down on a dead oxen or a bullock and nothing's happening. And Elijah, at the time of the evening prayer, he said, hey, guys, now it's my turn. You want to defeat the drought? The first thing old Elijah done was got the altar where it ought to be. He built that altar out of 12 stones, a picture of all the tribes being united together, the plan of God from the beginning. He builds those stones. He gets the stones in the right place. Now he's got the altar erected. I'm telling you, there's nothing like having altars in churches. These are mourners' benches. They're really not altars, but we call them altars. It's where you put a living sacrifice. Sacrifice belongs on an altar. That's what we do. But there's nothing like having an altar at home where you crawl in, you commune with God in your place of prayer. Some kind of dry. How's your altar at home? Too busy to pray. Turn off the television. Too busy. Get up 30 minutes early. It'll be worth it. It'll be worth it. 30 minutes early. Build up. First thing, hey, we're in a drought. Elijah says, let's build an altar. Now bring me the wood. The wood on the altar. Now bring me the sacrifice. Cut that bullock up. Put him on the wood. Now bring me the commodity that we're in shortage of. The thing that's most valuable right now in the middle of a 3.5 year drought is water. Bring me the most valuable thing. Now pour me 12 barrels of water on this. Fills the ditch up around it. You could put, I think it was 2 bushels, 4 pecks. Anyway, close to that, around the altar, the ditch fills up with water. If I counted right this thing, I think it's 62 words. And that's if you don't count O. O Lord, I counted that as one. But I think it was 62 words I counted in this prayer. These guys have been dancing, jumping, cutting themselves most of the day. Elijah's going to say 62 words. And God's about to do something. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. God's going to do something. And when the fire falls, He takes the rocks, He takes the wood, He takes the sacrifice, He takes the water, He licks the dust up. Bless God, He took it all. In his prayer, he knew, watch this, it was the anticipation of the prophet. It was the anticipation, because he says right here, stay with me, he says, hear me, O Lord, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again. His anticipation was, he knew God was going to do exactly what he asked him to, and it was going to turn their heart back to God. It didn't last long, but for that period of, short period of time, they said, the Lord is God. And it's all taken up. There's 850 prophets in this. 850 prophets. Now, I don't know that that those of Ashtoreth was there with them. The prophets of Baal, were certain they were there. And he has them slain. Where did those guys come from? Would they not have been? Unless she brought them from Phoenicia. And it doesn't say. Could they have been Hebrews? That so wholly turned away from God, they went into Baalism? I think very likely. And you know why I think that? Because they followed the law of God, and he said when somebody done that, you'd kill them. He said to stone them, they slew them with the sword. They're dead just the same. Watch this. Everything's done, there's still no water. Have you done it all and there's still no water? I mean, the sacrifice has been made. God should have been appeased. They're all on their face saying the Lord is God. And the water's not falling. They might have just went home and said, hey, I thought it was going to rain. But the man of God don't stop. I can't find where the Lord directed him what to do right here. He just told him to go tell Ahab it is going to rain. I can't find where the Lord told him give him all the details to make this happen. And Elijah prayed the fire down. Watch this. You know what he done after God proved that he's God? He didn't have to prove it to Elijah. Elijah knew it. The rest of them didn't. But where's the rain? I mean, watch this. Watch this, friend. Let's go from Carmel to Calvary. Let's go to the place where the sacrifice of sacrifices took place. Let's go where God laid down his life for a hillbilly named Mike McCoy. Let's go to that place. Let's go to that place, Calvary. That hill that Brother Wade sings about from the Spencers, that the hill that God made, he made a hill called Calvary, and he knew when he made that hill what was going to take place right there. Let's consider that place. Let's go to that hill and look at that sacrifice. And all these things happened. And the sacrifice was made, and the Lamb of God was buried, and the Lamb of God rose again. And praise God, the Lion from the tribe of Judah is at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us tonight. All those things are there. All that's taking place. And still what? No water sometimes. If he flooded us all the time, we'd all be running laps around here now. Sometimes, even after the sacrifice is gone, or taken place, carried out. And here's what he said. I must ask him. He didn't say that, but that's what he done. So here's the prophet who's prayed the fire down from heaven, humbles himself right before the crowd, and puts his head between his knees. Tells his servant, said, go look. And the servant said, I don't see nothing. How many times, Randy, have we called? And we've called and we've called. And we know it. We know it. We know He's God. We know He'll do what He said He'll do. We know that He hears us if we ask in His name. Mark 11:24 said He'd give us the desire of our heart. I mean, He said we could have it. But you know what? We're still dry. How many times we find ourselves in that place? Say, I don't see it. Go look again for me, would you? And about that seventh time, you know, I don't see the rain, but I see a cloud about the size of a man's hand. Can I tell you what hand that was? That was the hand that scooped the oceans out and pinched the mountains into place. That is the hand that scattered the stars across the sky, set the sun where it's at, made the moon, spun the earth, hung her on nothing. Praise God. It's been a hand in there ever since. That's the hand that they saw. They saw that hand about the size of a man's hand. Yeah, it's out there. He's there. And the old preacher said, you better get ready. It ain't raining yet, but the hand's out there, and the rains are coming. Get yourself ready. Get down. You know what he does? This just got me today. He said he gird himself up, gird up his loins, and he outrun the chariot. That's a fast preacher. He beats Ahab to Jezreel. Ahab's in a chariot, and the old preacher's running. World record. There he goes. And the rain is torrential. Watch this. Back in March, Brother Randy and I went over to North Carolina. I preached one night in a meeting. They have an associational revival or one night meeting. Several churches get together. They call in an evangelist to preach to them. And I was privileged to get called. Brother Randy went with me. We rode over, went to Gary and Kelly's house, stayed with them. Gary drove us over to the meeting. It's about an hour away. We got over there and I preached there was a fellow stood up at the end of the meeting. Gary said, I've never seen Melvin emotional in a service. But he was that night. And Melvin had a 71-year-old brother named Thurman. And Thurman is diagnosed with a cancer that they say he won't survive. And Melvin is a preacher, and Melvin says, pray for my lost brother. And he's just weeping. He said, I can't bear the thought that my brother's going to die and go to hell. I've had hundreds of people ask me to pray for something. And once in a while, not every time. Now, if they ask me, I'll pray one time for it. I promised them I'd pray, and I will at least pray one time, usually two or three times, and by about the fourth or fifth time I pray, it kind of fades away. But I have prayed like I said I would. Something happened that night when that old emotional preacher stood up, and him being touched me. I'm talking about breaking the drought. And when I left that night, I said, when that guy gets saved, I want to know it. Now, that's boisterous, preacher. No, I don't think so. That was anticipation. It was just anticipation of what I thought was going to occur. Because he was asking in such a way, I'm thinking it's going to happen, Brother Jimmy. Thurman's 71 years old. My phone rings this morning. I'm watering flowers. I thought, God doesn't work by coincidence, but isn't it bizarre that I'm watering something when I get this call? Gary said, hey, you remember that guy stood up over there in revival that night? I said, Thurman Revis. He said, yeah, that's the guy that's lost. I said, the Lord told me this morning, I was praying, and the Lord, in my spirit, I'm telling you, profound thought come to me. You need to call and check on Thurman. I hadn't even called Gary. Gary calls me. I said, Thurman Revis. He said, yeah. Said that was Melvin, his brother, stood up, the preacher. Request prayer for him? I said, yeah. He said, guess what? I knew what. He said, Thurman went to church. He said, Melvin, call me. Said, your preacher might want to know this. Thurman went to church last week. And somebody gave the invitation. An old 71-year-old sick Thurman, lost, without God, made his way to an altar, called upon the Lord, was gloriously saved. You didn't have anything to do with that, preacher. I had a little bit to do with it. Because God burdened my soul with that. He burdened me with that. You know what that done? I'll tell you, it happened Sunday morning when little Jacob come forward. That broke the drought. It broke the drought. So on the 23rd, I'm going to have a baptizing little Hannah or Haley. Haley's going to get back. Haley McGee, that's Kathy and Lewis Hale's granddaughter. On the 23rd of June, we're going to baptize her. You can tell Jacob. That was the drought breaker. And I'm telling you, this morning the dam broke. When he said, hey, old Thurman Revis. Because something happened that night when his brother stood there and wept and said, oh God, my brother's going to die. And he's going to go to hell. He's sick. He's 71 years old. He's not long for this world. I need you to help me pray. And the Lord said, you help me. The sacrifice had been made. I hadn't seen the cloud. I hadn't seen the hand. I had my head between my knees on the floor. But I was asking the Lord. I didn't see it the first day. That's been since March. Every day, twice a day, from March till now. You know what? This morning, I got the news. Hallelujah! The devil don't have them all. Bless God, I'm telling you, when people are born again, I watched Waveline looking at Lily Kate when Amanda came walking in with her. I saw her face light up. I saw Campbell want someone to turn around and look at her. Their face lit up. You know what? That's what new births do. They're drought breakers. We don't have to be dry. We choose to be dry. We simply choose to be dry. Remember that next time you get in a dry place. Maybe you're in a dry place now. No need to be in a dry place. The sacrifice is being made. The hand's out there. Hey, he's ready to do exactly what he said he'd do. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever thing you desire, when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall. This is Jesus speaking. Ye shall have them. Often we respond like those children of Israel when Elijah said, "You going to serve God or serve Baal?" And they didn't say anything. And then sometimes we respond, the sacrifice has been made, everything's happened. The prophets have been slain according to the law. They're out of the way. They're not a threat to you anymore. That thing that was threatening you is gone. It's dead. God killed it. I don't see anything. Then one time, whether it's the 7th, the 70th, or the 700th, you look out there and you see that little cloud about like a man's hand. And you know, I've been waiting a while. Bless God, He said, "I come out this thing." I've been waiting a while and I'm coming out. Water is on the way. Come get us all. You need a drink tonight. You need the water. You need some help. You need to help someone else. I don't know what you need, but God knows. Or He'd give me something else to preach. Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet. And while we sing, if you need to pray, these altars are open.
Father, 379.
Thank you for helping us tonight, Lord. Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.